You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 12th of October. Preseason's in the rearview mirror. The Kings are stunningly terrible. We're live on Facebook taking your questions, and we'll wrap up preseason and now wait for 6 days to get going. It's all coming up on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, geeky numbers, little expertise, and a lot of fun. And today's show is brought to you, is available for you on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Jazz. I apologize to everyone. I keep telling you I'm going to try to get Alexa taken care of for our NBA broadcast this year. And I'm trying really, really hard. And I'm a pain in the ass to a lot of people right now about it. And I know that last night, if you tried, you got told that the Jazz skill doesn't work and that 1280 was playing a football game. So I will try to see if we can rectify this at some point and get this done. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai and by my friends at the store at 6200 South and 20th East. I am interviewing Daniel Coyle of Culture Code today at 11. I'm very excited for that. And we'll bring that to you. All right, here's our plan. I think we'll do a live show either Wednesday morning from Sacramento or Tuesday next week. But in the meantime, I want to take all of your questions and get all of your thoughts on the Jazz and everything. So thank you very much for tuning in. I want to welcome in 10 new members to the Locked On Jazz Facebook group. Corey Summison, who works over at eBay, welcome. Joel Parrott, thank you very much. He's an economics major at BYU, Idaho. Alohi from Los Angeles, thanks very much for joining in. Miles Aiden, welcome aboard, glad to have you. Lives out in Texas, smart guy out of Northwestern. Stephen Graves, thank you. Scott Boyd, welcome aboard, glad to have you. Ben Child, working over at Workday, thank you so much. Shade Daniels in Lehigh. Sean Bush, welcome to the program and for joining as well. And finally, Jeremy Barber from Lewiston, Utah. Welcome and glad to have you a part of the Locked On Jazz Facebook group. All right, so preseason's in the books. Everyone's healthy. That's really what matters more than anything else. Sacramento is awful. Holy smokes. I mean, I'm not sure what Sacramento was running last night in any way, shape, or form. I mean, the joke is that Adelaide gave us a better match, but in some ways they did. They had a system. They were running stuff. They were pushing us. Our guys, you know, Quinn had busted our guys pretty good for the way they played and how poor they were in their performance against the Portland Trailblazers. And so the Jazz came out and played, but and you saw every aspect of what Quinn is trying to get done in free agency. Now, we're not going to shoot 60% very often, but the shot chart was beautiful last night. There were almost long twos. The Jazz took 7, 8, maybe. It's hard to kind of, the shot charts aren't perfect, and I don't have the exact. They took maybe 8, and if you count a foot on the line, maybe a ninth long two last night. That was it. They got 12 corner threes, which is just a sign that Sacramento has no idea what they're doing. Sacramento only took 2 corner threes, so our defense was perfect. I mean, I really believe in the shot distribution. I think this is super important. Probably maybe too much so, but we saw last night the Jazz had 9 high passes, which has been something that they've talked about consistently throughout training camp, is to try to get as many high passes as possible, and they have done exactly that. And when Rudy Gobert or Joe Ingles can suddenly, excuse me, Rudy Gobert or Derek Favors can suddenly go get 1 or 2 extra shots a quarter, that is a game-changing amount. Rudy, 1 extra shot a quarter is mammoth. So I was trying to figure out how to explain this. I ran this model the other day, and let me see if this makes any sense at all. And I'm going to really simplify it here for a little bit. But the league average on points per scoring opportunity is about 1.11. Okay? The Jazz, this is really simplifying. We're league average. We're just going to go with that. Rudy is 1.32 points per scoring opportunity. So he's 0.21 points better than league average. If Rudy Gobert were to get four more shots a game, as in the one per quarter, the Jazz offense would become 0.8 better than it already is. So how big a deal is that? Well, let's look at it. And let's not look at preseason. Let's look at the 2017-18 regular season. I can't remember if I told you guys this yesterday, that they changed the numbers on this. It's actually kind of interesting. So if you look at the offensive rating of last year, the Jazz offensive rating was a 107.2, and the Jazz were 16th in the league. If you suddenly were to add a point, which is about what we're talking about, the Jazz go to 108.2. They jump to 13th, almost 12th in the league offensively. There's a pretty big drop from 15 to 16, like as though there's 15 teams that were 108, and then the Jazz were all the way down at 107.2. So they actually have a pretty big jump to get up, but then there's almost no jump to 10th. So if you were to go get Rudy four extra touches a night, the Jazz jump to about 13th. If you go get Derek one extra and jump him up, now you're all of a sudden at 10th or 11th. If the Jazz can do that, it's a mammoth change to who they are offensively. I don't know if I mentioned this yesterday, but the NBA recalculated the possession count last year, and so the Jazz are now last year's number one defensive team. That changed. They were not they're now the third best defensive team, and they're defensive rebounding team and 21st in offensive rebound. They just kind of changed a little bit of the net rating on everything. We're the fifth best team overall in net rating behind the Rockets, Raptors, Warriors, and 76ers, and this does us absolutely no good. Preseason numbers are not one to live by, and we played a terrible preseason. But as of right now, we are the number one offense and the number one defense in preseason. That means even less. We played at an incredibly high pace, though, in our preseason games at 109 possessions, and that is at least a little interesting. Our game against Adelaide was 117 possessions, which is way too high and probably a false pretense to what's going on. But the general play in the preseason is up to 106. The average team is at 106 possessions right now a game. Last year regular season was about 100. The way they've recalculated it was 97. Wow. So it's, we're up 8 possessions a game in the preseason in pace of play. To me, player movement is the much talked about item, but I think that's the big one. So summing up preseason before we go and get to all your questions today, I think number one, the Jazz got, you can see they're further along. Last night you saw them trying all sorts of things. They ran a lot of stuff last night. They ran their out of free throw plays. They ran variations on some of their offensive sets last night. They ran a lot of different items in last night's game, and you could see how far along they are. We saw the depth in preseason, so I think that's really, really strong. That they did that. We saw Dante's coming along doing things. Alec had a fabulous preseason. Grayson, I don't know how he's going to get minutes, but he certainly looked good in his shooting particularly. The Jazz shot 42% from three. If they were to do that, they would win the NBA title. They can't do that, by the way, just to let you know. There's no chance that they can do that in the regular season. It would be historical. I think we saw an emphasis in transition of pushing ahead, pushing across. The second item I think we saw was the high pass offensively of really forcing Gobert on top of the rim and Favors on top of the rim as a threat and forcing teams to come in and guard that with probably more than just a small guy on a switch, which may open up more and more threes. And we saw an overall emphasis by the Utah Jazz to take as a huge amount of 3-point shots, which is great. Like, the fact is, this is exactly how you want to play and what you want to do. The Jazz, so in the preseason, the Jazz took 36.6% of their shots as threes. That's pretty close to the exact number that Quinn Snyder has been talking to the guys about, of what he wants out of them from threes. It's been a major emphasis to up that. They're taking 41% of their shots as threes. That's about the perfect number so far. And you really would like to see, my ideal shot distribution is 40% of your shots at the rim and 40% of your shots as threes, and they're not that far off of that, which is pretty awesome. Okay, today's show is brought to you by my good friends at the store. That means Mudslide Cookies. We have to really do something, people. When I was there the other day at the store, I don't want to say that Jeff and Scott were making fun of me by saying that my favorite cookie was the number two cookie, but then they laid down the gauntlet and said that there's no chance that the Mudslide cookie become the number one sales cookie that they have. That is unacceptable. So go to the store, 600 South, 20th East, and buy Mudslide cookies so they become the number one cookie. Also, new chef there. The chef-designed wraps and sandwiches are made in-house every day. In the back, there's the smoked turkey brie and the cranberry chutney, and there's just the Nirvana, which is plant-based wrap with roasted peppers, sautéed mushrooms, and more. New salads in the deli as well. Tailgate items if you're going to the Ute football game. Delicious beefs found in a few places, built on the tradition of family farms for generations. The beef program is exceptional. There actually is this big, there's called Hereford and Choice, and there's a big difference, and they're Hereford now. There's a whole thing about it. You can check it out at certifiedherfordbeef.com, but they explained it to me, and the beef's amazing. So it's just that local touch that Scott puts together. Amy's there now. She's joined the and putting a lot to it also as well. So check it out. 62nd South, 20th East. You'll feel that local. Then Fridays is the June Pie Day. June pies are in today, so make sure you stop by at 62nd South, 20th East. All right, let's get to your questions. I'm excited. They've been so good all year long. Matt Moon says, can you introduce me to Joe Ingles? Maybe we'll have to do that. Justino, Rudy is going to be hard to guard without grabbing and pulling on him. So this is the freedom of movement thing. Quinn's ahead of the game on this and aware of it, and he's built the offense around it a little bit, and hopefully it's going to be a big deal. But yes, if you cannot hook Rudy Gobert on a switch and Rudy's rolling to the basket, we can get the rim ball up on the rim, Rudy becomes a force. And if Rudy becomes a force, our offense becomes way better, as we just talked about. Four shots by Rudy a game is about 0.8 points per game. 1 point is generally thought as 2.7 wins. Okay? So getting Rudy an extra shot a quarter is worth almost 3 wins for the season. What do you think is going to get left out of the rotation? Who do you think? I don't think Grayson Allen's in the rotation to start the year. I think Grayson will start the year as a offensive changeup on a night where we're not scoring, bring him in to do a little shooting. Maybe if someone's playing us in a certain way where we need a little better shooting, he's really shown he can shoot the ball great. He makes super decisions. He moves the ball on the offensive side. Does a lot of things well, but AB has been terrific in camp. And Dante's playing great. And so you just, as Quinn's talked about, there's a negative point in this process by which when you decide, if you decide to go give 11 guys minutes so that the last two guys are only getting 6 minutes a night, it's not worth it. But the preseason, I mean, Grayson was terrific as well. As 13 of 25 for 3 for 52%, 51% from the field overall. He was just great. Averaged 12 points a game. He did have 13 turnovers, which is going to be something he works on. But as good as he was, Dante, I thought, played really, really well in his 60 minutes that we saw out of him. I thought Alec Burks, 10 of 21 from 3, 48%, 51% from the field overall, 18 free throw attempts in 5 games, great rebounding, good assist game. AB was maybe the star of AB really might have been the star of camp. By the way, Donovan very quietly shot 42% from three. They went under on a bunch of picks on him yesterday, and he nailed it. Boy, the Kings are bad. Holy smokes. But I think, you know, by January or February, you see Grayson in the rotation. I think George Niang, by the way, had a very subtly impressive training camp. 64% shooting, 50% from three. He's going to get Thabo Sefolosha's minutes early on, and I'm not saying that Niang is going to knock Sefolosha out of the rotation at all, but I think that Thabo's going to have to be really good when he gets back, because I think George Niang is going to play well in those five games. And I suspect George Niang plays very well in those five games. And then there's a little bit of a spot there. How about Udo, by the way, in those dunks last night? And we played bad teams in the preseason, so you got to be a little careful on taking a lot out of this. The team is really, really deep. But back to Grayson, I think, you know, as injuries happen, so everybody misses about 10 games. And as, you know, as if anybody of Ingles, O'Neal, Exum, Rubio, Burks, Mitchell misses any games, Grayson gets time. Well, if guys are supposed to miss 10% of the time, like once we start the season, someone in there is going to miss some time, and then Grayson gets those times. So Grayson will play an awful lot. I just think he'll be a fill-in rotation spot. Man, I was lucky enough to meet the former Australian head coach. I told him about you, and he said he couldn't get you an intro to Joe Ingles. Oh, that was to Matt. Funny. Samuel says turnovers seem to be an issue, especially for the young new guys. I mean, I think Grayson turned it over a little bit. Dante turned it over. Royce turned it over 11 times. Royce also had 10 steals. I don't care about turnovers, honestly. There's been very little sign of a correlation between turnovers and bad offense. Usually the turnovers are turnovers that are creating plays. So if we turn it over a few times with lobs to the rim, but every time we convert one, it's a dunk, that's totally fine. As long as that turnover is not a fast break the other way, as long as it's not the turnover that's happening above the free throw line, I'm pretty good with it. What do you think the chances are we see Grayson Allen play for the Stars at some point? I do not think he plays for the Stars, unless I'd really be surprised. Wow, we have a lot of Grayson Allen questions. How many do you think Grayson will fit in the rotation? I think I answered that. James Scott, how excited are we for the new season? My babies are all grown up now, so the 3:30 a.m. tips where I would volunteer to do the early morning feeds won't work. I need a new excuse. Well, James, we will be posting all full radio broadcasts on the Utah Jazz radio feed on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and everything else, Utah Jazz Radio. And so when, if you want to sleep in, you just don't turn off your notifications on your phone. If you're a foreign person, if you live in a foreign country, this is our thought for you. You can then wake up and grab the Jazz game, hopefully before any notifications give you while you're sleeping, and you can listen to the Jazz game. We largely do the Utah Jazz radio feed for those of you that are overseas. That's our thought, is that you can't get the radio broadcast overseas, so we'll podcast it at Utah Jazz Radio on iTunes. I think that's the search. I'm checking right now. And you can get the full broadcast. We will also have Jazz Game Rewind up after each and every game for you. We have a new crew of broadcast assistants that are very talented, and we're excited for that. And so Utah Jazz Radio will be up for you. That's the feed for you. And we'll have Jazz Game Rewind. We'll have the coaches show the minute it's interviewed for you. And we'll have full game broadcasts for you as well. So on that feed, and you can get the game that way if you would like to. Should we be concerned that maybe we look too good in preseason? What can you really learn from blowouts? No, I mean, there's the we played bad teams, so that is real. But, I mean, what are you going to do? I'd be more concerned if we look bad. I mean, if you want to get concerned about the fact that Toronto kicked our butt in the second quarter and Portland kicked our butt, right? Like, so the two teams we played that are high-level NBA teams hammered us in the preseason, I thought. Like, there's still a lot of, last night was a joke. I'm a fan of Dave Yeager. They looked awful. I mean, I don't want to bag on Dave Yeager. They didn't look like they had a system, a structure, or anything. It looked awful. What are some of the things that the Jazz need to work on this season besides shooting more threes and staying healthy? Oh, I mean, I think defensive excellence. They're trying to learn how to play with the player movement. You want to maintain that. Offensively, trying to flip defenses really quickly so that you can get some work. But I think you're seeing shooting those, getting those threes, defensive. You know, I think they're working. I think they're actually interested in having a little bit more offensive rebounding. A few years ago, the offensive rebounding perked up, and that gave them enough extra possessions to make that jump that we talked about. You're just trying to add, you know, a point per 100 possessions is worth 2.7 wins over the course of the season. Like, it's a big deal. Hi, Sean Jones. How are you? Kyle Wilmore, what are you most excited about? League-wide or Jazz-wide? League-wide, the amount of teams that I really think I have great questions, Mark, and points gained has got teams that are all over the map differently. So, I mean, I have New Orleans as the fourth best team in the Western Conference. Like, I'm pretty curious to see if I'm right on that. I think Cleveland could be okay and not terrible if they try. I'm interested to see that. I think Brooklyn could make the playoffs. I'm interested to see that. I think there's a lot of teams that are, you know, obviously Minnesota's a dumpster fire and you got to watch it. It's like OJ and the White Bronco right now. Houston, where is Carmelo hit 39% of his catch and shoot threes last year, but was highly inefficient. Are they going to be able to eliminate all those crappy little possessions that he had? Kevin Durant rumors, by the way, of him leaving are really, really persistent right now. Does that impact the Warriors in any way, shape, or form? I kind of doubt it. I think the Raptors are way better than everybody else in the East. Is that true? From our standpoint, the question to me is, can we be as elite defensively? I mean, that's the calling card. And last year, 25 of our last 33 games, our defensive rating was 101 or below. 38 of 54 of Favors defense games, of Gobert's games, were 101 or below. 101, what does that mean? 101 or below defensive rating last year. So the way I would explain that, is that 101 was the best in the league. So if you take the best defensive rating in the league, it was the Jazz at 102.9. So 101.1 is 1.5 points better than the best in the league. The league average offense or median was 107.6. When we were holding people under one, like, that's an ass kicking. And we were doing that with regularity. Are we going to be able to keep that up in the process? Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street, Murdoch Hyundai. The Murdochs have been in business in Utah for 92 years, keeping that excellence, maintaining those relationships with their clients, and doing everything they can as a car dealer for you. Number one, car washes for life. Number two, safety inspection for life. 5-day price match guarantee, or 5-day return policy and a price match guarantee. You don't get that anywhere else. That's their commitment to you. And the Hyundai brand, just terrific. We bought the Santa Fe because it peaked out on all the safety ratings and gave us everything we needed. Three rows of seats, great price, all the bells and whistles, are 16-year-old safe. The Tucson's the smaller version. They have great deals on that right now. The Kona is the little small SUV, kind of like the Cross Track from Subaru. It's zipping around. And the Ioniq is their hybrid with a great sedan lineup as well. It's all at 4646 South State Street in Murray, as well as in Linden and in Logan. Murdoch Hyundai, 100,000-mile Hyundai assurance on all cars as well. All right, let's get back to the questions. How does the faster pace of play affect points gained? Should not. It does not impact. Pace of play does not impact points gained at all. What is your takeaway from the wide variety of answers to who is the positive guy in the team and answer you received from your culture code series? Thank you, Ryan. I don't know. I think that's one of the most interesting things about that culture code series was when I asked the question, you know, who was the positive guy, I got a bunch of different answers. I'm interviewing Daniel Coyle in 30 minutes, and that's actually one of the questions I'm going to ask him. Is exactly that. Like, what the two things to me that jump out about the Jazz specifically is contagious. Like, they all stay after practice. They all do things together. We have hour-long events, and then they're all there for an hour and a half. And then that answer to that question, I also thought the Udo and the Neto answers were the most interesting, that they said themselves, that they saw their selflessness of giving to the team, and that was being valued by the group. So I thought that was really interesting. I'm really excited for this Daniel Coyle interview. I hope I do it well, because Talent Code was amazing as well. It's one of the author I've enjoyed the most. I'm pretty psyched. I think my plan right now is that we'll just put him in the third segment for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then I'll do something with Locked On NBA as well. So that's my thought. I mean, we don't have, frankly, we got almost no news between now and Wednesday. Maybe we'll just do Monday and Tuesday. All right. That's my thought. What is the number one cookie at the store? It's the one on the left-hand side. It's got chocolate and nuts and also, and I can't eat nuts, so I'm personally offended by this. So it's that one. I don't give it a name. It's the rival. I don't discuss the competition to the mudslide cookie. The greatness that is the mudslide cookie shall not be counted. By the way, Sacramento, Estelle Bakery, wow. I mean, like, wow. Macrina Bakery, Seattle, all-time favorite. Estelle Bakery, Sacramento, on par. My guy in San Francisco, Arnault, I think's his name, who got ranked the number one bakery by Bon Appetit. Pretty good. Estelle Bakery, Sacramento, stunningly good. In fact, I brought a cookie home. On Derek Favors' lone three, his form looked better as it almost looked like a play was ran to get him a three. Didn't Derek go 2 for 2 on threes in this year? In preseason? That's what I thought. Yeah, I mean, actually, what I was more impressed with on Derek on that three was, he went 2 for 3, was how there was a guy actually on him a little bit when he took it. You know what? If Derek takes, like, 1 or 2 a game, just the threat of him taking it will bring the defender out slightly. Guys defend to where they think they're supposed to be. Can't stop Rudy Gobert without grabbing. Do you think the league will stick with calling these fouls, or will they regress? What about the playoffs? Will there be reluctant to call these fouls? You know, I was reading an article in The Athletic on an interview with Monty McCutcheon. I was reading Kevin Pelton's interview with Monty McCutcheon, and he is insistent right now in saying that that they will not allow that to happen, that they are very much going to do everything they can to make sure that they maintain the rules all the way through. And that Monty McCutcheon specifically said that if exactly what you just said, Justino, is true, then they're not doing their job. Can Alec Burks continue the type of high motor, under control offense? You know, post-game interview with Alec, he said he's slowed down, the game's slower, he's had to learn how to land. He commented on all of those items as being the case. So Alec's aware of it. You know, I think that's the first thing with these players, and that sounds so weird, but you have to become aware of what your flaw is to be able to fix it. And I think that Alec is openly aware of it. Jeff Watkinson has worked with him and done a great job. And I think Alec is aware. And if Alec is good, that bench. It's so exciting. We'll see. I mean, I'm nervous about whether we can be as elite defensively. I just think that's so hard to do again. I'm nervous about whether or not we can maintain that level of excellence and desperation that we had in that final stretch last year. But boy, if Dante's pretty good and Alec's good and Royce continues to do his thing and we can get some stretch four play out of Jay or George Niang or Tabo, we need that. We need 34 minutes of stretch four play that's really good. And I'm not quite sure where those 34 minutes are coming from right now. I guess I would throw that as a little bit of a concern. Jay was 5 of 17 in the preseason from three. That's not a worry to me, but I'd like to make sure that we need 34 minutes to stretch 4 minutes. Like, I think the way this team is built and to be at its max and to let Alec have the room and Dante to have the room, particularly that bench unit needs to be spread out, I think, with Dante driving and Alec driving. And Royce is a pretty good straight line driver, so that if Royce, he doesn't have any wiggle, but if Royce can get a go and catch and straight line, he's a brick house, and so he'll get to the basket. If those guys can get those things, I think it's a huge edge, so we got to be spread, so we need some really good 4 minutes there. That I would say that's a little you know, those are my little concerns. I don't know how I got to that, but I'm pretty excited about everything else. I like the offense in the first and second quarter with the shots early in the shot clock, putting up threes with no hesitation. But is it sustainable in the regular season against better competition? Well, I mean, against better competition, it would seem like that's even more important to be able to get the shots off early, good looks early, before they clamp down defensively on a crap defense like Sacramento, who's overplaying. If you keep moving the basketball all the time, you'll be able to break them down and get to the basket against a good team. It might be even more important to get those. Do you feel like you are hitting on all, wait, do you feel like we, no, me, I'm not hitting on all cylinders. Do you feel like we are hitting on all cylinders? Do we still have some improvement in chemistry? I don't know about improvement in chemistry, but Toronto and Portland blasted us. So I don't think that this team is like awesome rolling right now. Last night we played a team that was a disaster, as really, really bad. I mean, Sacramento was really bad last night. And I think that is a bigger to what's going on. Hello, Dave Lowy. Hello, Leave Stokes, who are watching, good friends of mine. Rudy seems to be catching the ball above the rim a lot better. Can he be our leading scorer? No, because I think Donovan's going to average 23 or 24 points a game, so I don't think he can be our leading scorer, but he is much stronger, and he is catching the ball a great deal better, and he deserves a huge amount of credit. I'm going to go a little rapid fire here. Kyle Wilmore, what is your favorite city to spend time in on a day on the road? Toronto. Or San Francisco, because my close friends all live there. If I get a chance to sit down with my high school friends, actually, Kristen Kenny and I went to lunch yesterday, and we decided to do a fun little exercise where we wrote down the 10 best things in our lives, and my high school friends, I put on that list. So if I can go to San Francisco, that's it. Should Exum be put in a puffy suit and learn how to fall? Yes, I'm concerned about his ability to get through 82 games of fall. In reference to the tweet from Andy Larson about last half of the season teams and schedule, does that have any meaningful impact? I did not see the Andy Larson tweet. Second half of season, first 20 games, first 30 games is always a better indicator of success than last half. I'll have to look. I don't think what the Jazz did in the last half of the season is sustainable. They went 29-6 to close the year. And if you were to do that over an 82-game schedule, that's winning 68 games. No one's saying that the Jazz are a 68-win team. So I don't think we're looking to do that same thing again. That was insane. I was impressed the Jazz took the option on Mitchell so early. Must give it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, James, if you want to. I mean, they're going to pick up the option on Donovan. He was great about it to send out a tweet that he was blessed and showing being humble. But that's, you know, that's pretty well known. That's coming. In your culture code interviews, you never asked any of the players thought they were negative vibes. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to answer that question, so there's a point as a reporter that you don't ask a question that you know you can't get an answer to. And then I would also say that I don't think I wanted them throwing anyone under the bus like that, but, you know, there was some negative energy last year, and it left, and they got better. Do you think we are too deep of a team and players will start getting upset about playing time? It seems like the players are a true close team. There are some guys that could lose some minutes that aren't going to be very happy. So, yeah, I think that's legitimate. I think chemistry is a really hard thing to hold together. We'll talk to Daniel Coyle about that coming up in just a little bit. All right, do you think Grayson Allen gets – we're back to Grayson Allen. I think we're done. I will look through the rest of the questions. I appreciate all of you. Thank you very much. It's been a fun edition of Locked On Jazz. We'll go live either Tuesday or Wednesday next week, probably Wednesday. Have a great one. See you.